glad that you're here this morning. It's going to be a good day here in the house of the Lord. Yesterday was opening day of baseball for me and little Braxton. It was an exciting day. It was just full of a lot of excitement, a busy day. But I thought about how exciting opening day is when the Braves start, when your kids play, you know, whatever it is. Let's make today opening day for the Lord, today here at church. Let's be excited about what we're about to hear, what we're about to sing, what we're about to praise. Let's just do it, right? Let's stand up and let's worship.
If you've been walking the same old road for miles and miles, if you've been hearing the same old voice tell the same old lies, if you're trying to feel the same old holes inside, there's a better life, there's a better life. If you got pain, he's a pain taker. If you feel lost, he's a way maker. If you need freedom, save him, he's a prison shaking savior. If you got chains, search for the light of day, dead of night. We will find ourselves worn out from the same old fight. We've all run to things we know that just ain't right. There's a better life. There's a better life. She got Jay. He's a big taker.
This week, Dusty gave me a call and asked me if I would share a little bit of my testimony with you. So I've never been asked to do that, to be quite honest with you. I feel like I have in my head thousands of times, but I've just never gone through the spiel of what God has done for me and where I was and where he's taken me. And I want to go back to my childhood. I know it seems like it might take forever, but I promise I'll... I grew up in a Southern Baptist church. My grandfather was a Southern Baptist preacher, as many of you know. I grew up in church every Sunday morning, every Sunday night, every Wednesday night. I had to wear khaki pants. I had to have my shirt tucked in. I had a good raising, really good raising. I had good parents. My dad, great dad. Couldn't ask for a better dad. My mom, love her to death. She loves me dearly, and I'm so thankful thankful for them. But as I grew up and I had just this wonderful childhood, I try to tell a lot of people it almost seemed as though the perfect childhood. You know, I was never around anybody drinking. I was never around, we were always in the non-smoking section, right? When you went to the restaurant. It just seemed like the perfect childhood. And I'll try to keep it together moving forward. But one day, things just crashed, seems like. And everything that I thought my life was going to be, it wasn't anymore. And it kind of started when my parents divorced when I was 17. I was 17. But it just came crashing down a little bit, and I thought, my gosh, I've been in church all this time. I do all these good things, and, you know, this God that I'm serving, how could you do this to me? You know, how could this happen to me? This wasn't how it was supposed to be. Remember, this wasn't it. My grandfather, who was a pastor, he got Alzheimer's. That hit me even harder because I thought, how in the world would I do all this? And we serve this God, and now he doesn't even know me. He does not know me. I went through more family things with my brother, and I won't get into that, but I got to a point when I said, I'm not going to church anymore. I don't want to go to church because it got me nowhere, got me nothing. So I went through my senior year of high school. I went to college. Now, mind you, I was still a good dude, but I did bad things that I'm not even going to sit here and share with you through those times. But I also did good things, and I made a lot of friends through them. So I can't look back on them and say, my gosh, you were terrible. Yeah, I did so many things that were terrible. I made a lot of friends, but I was running from God. I was running from him. I thought there was no place for me in the church. I thought that God didn't love me. I thought, how could God love me when I'm going through all this? How could he love me? I got into music. I love music. I love sports and music, but I got into music. I got into seeing this band that was awesome. Bad things happened at concerts, but my dad told me one time, you can praise in those concerts, and it just struck me in a whole different light. Kitty and Dad got married not too long after. Let's see, I was probably about 20, 21, but Kitty became just a blessing in my life. I started coming here every now and then. Again, when I came here, I don't know where I was. I don't know what I was doing. What I want to tell you, though, is people were praying for me during those times. And I always think about that. I think about my granny Grubbs. I think about her praying for her grandchildren. She never outwardly said to me, I don't think that she prays for me, but I know she did. I know my dad prayed for me all the time. And I felt that through those times, right? I felt, even though I'm running for God, I can sit here today and tell you, he didn't run from me.
Right.
He didn't run from me. He was still there with me all the time. He was in me. Through those times, he was right there with me. So as I got older, Lindsay and I had Braylee. And many of you may know we had Braylee.
Sorry, I just looked at her.
We had Braylee before we were married. And again, I could talk about a whole lot during those times, but what I thought could have been the worst thing ever to happen to me, again, turned out to be the biggest blessing to me, right? It turned out to be the biggest blessing. And again, I'm moving on through life. I know people are praying for me, and I know God has never left me. At that point, I'm back here, and I'm back in church. It led me to Lindsay, right? Lindsay and I, as you know, have been married, and this year's 10 years that we've been married. And when I think about Lindsay, I think about how does she put up with me? How would you put up with me? But she stands by me no matter what. She sees how I act, how I am, and she loves me dearly. We've met wonderful friends here at Eagles Way, and I feel like God just pulled me here after growing up Southern Baptist. This is your spot. This is your spot. Started singing. Kitty said, hey, I think you might sing in the band. I did it. I was so nervous when David asked me, and we practiced, and I got up here. I still get nervous. I'm so thankful for a God who loves me dearly. I'm so thankful for parents that love me. I'm so thankful for in-laws that love and care for me. I'm just thankful for what God has done for me in my life. I'm thankful for my friends. I know I talk to you about my friends all the time. I've got plenty of friends here. God led me to this place that I am today, and all these people accept me for who I am. He's in me all the time, even when I don't acknowledge it. I have to just acknowledge it because he is. He's here with me. Thank you, Eagles Way, for being such an inspiration. Buren has been an inspiration in my life like no other. As my granddaddy was such, he meant so much to me, and I didn't know it then, honestly. I did, but I didn't. And now I'm sat here worshiping, and I can feel my grandfather with me. Am I in a Baptist church? No, and I don't think he cares. I don't think he cares. I think he would be proud of me, but Buren's been such an inspiration. I'm just so thankful that I have him in my life. I'm thankful for what God has done for me. If you're going through rough times and you're running from God, you're not really, he's not running from you, I promise you. He's not running from you. He is right there with you step by step. All the way. Just acknowledge that he's with you and praise him. Let's give him praise this morning. Thank you, Father. Thank you, God, that you are who you are, Father. We just thank you for what you've done in my life. We thank you for what you're doing in everyone's life here, Father. We praise you for it. We thank you for your love. We thank you for your mercy, God. And we just thank you that we could go out into the world and share that love and mercy, Father.
Thank you.
In Jesus' name.
I want to know you more. That song is really just the perfect song for this season that we're entering into. And, you know, listening to that song this week, I asked myself, for the bridge says, Lord, have your way in me. To dare to tell God, God, have your way in me. Like the reality of us saying that and meaning that, Lord, have your way in me. And, you know, sometimes in the season, you may give up something or fast something, and I think that's wonderful when you choose to do that, or maybe you don't choose to do that, and that's okay too. But to embark and enter into this season set on just a daily life of prayer. You know, for me, I'm going to be praying for things in my family, for you, but I really just want to seek his heart, and I want my prayer to be, Lord, have your way in me. What are those things in me that need to be corrected, but what are those things in me that you want to pull out, that you want to draw out? And Jesus says, keep on asking, and you will receive what you ask for. Keep on seeking, and you will find. Keep on knocking, and the door will be open to you, for everyone who asks receives. Whatever that thing is. And so, you know, today is kind of a different service, and it's a special service that we together as a body make a decision together that we're going to enter into the season to keep on knocking, to keep on seeking, for whatever that thing is, for whatever it is, and whatever you ask, you're going to get that answer. Don't you want God's direction and perfect will for your life? I was sharing with Anna last night. I said, Anna, I said, the two greatest things you will ever, of course, all of this founded on love, the two greatest things that you will ever seek after and that will just be the most important thing is your purpose and passion. Your purpose and passion. And I'm going to purpose to seek God in my life over these next several days and weeks of purpose and passion, and do in me what you want to do in me, Father. To do in this house what you want to do in this house. So we're going to sing this next song called The War Is Over, and it says, he has made a way, and the cross made a way, his blood made a way for whatever that thing is. And then Dad's going to come. He's going to share a little bit. And he's going to stir this thing called prayer. He's going to stir this thing that what God has done and what God is doing. And I would just encourage you just to stay open to hear whatever the Spirit wants you to hear today.
The war is
praising you, Lord. We don't tire from trusting in you. What you've done, you'll do again. This is my battle cry. I'm found in Jesus Christ. Just open up this morning to you, God, and we just thank you, Lord. We come with hearts ready to receive and to hear and to move in. And you, we live and we move and we have our being. We thank you, Father.
Something a little different this morning, and I want to share just a little bit with you and what happened to me this past week and what I'm looking forward to over the next several weeks before Easter. This past Wednesday, as we know, was Ash Wednesday. It's Lent season's beginning of 40 days before Easter, and means a lot to a lot of different people in different ways. And usually Lent, not usually, but always, people give up something. You know, they give up whatever for Lent season. It's a time to sanctify themselves, sacrifice themselves, however you want to put it, to the Lord. Well, I decided in my life, and I'm asking you to join me, that for Lent, for me, is not giving up anything. It's giving into something, though, and it's into prayer in a way that I never have. A prayer to believe God for the miraculous. To believe God for things that aren't just hopes and aspirations and dreams, but reality. February the 25th, 1973, on a Sunday night, Barbara and I began our journey of faith together. And we embraced our Christian faith because of we were raised up in it. She was raised at First Baptist Church. I was raised in a little Pentecostal church. And we got married in 1972, December, and then in February 25th, on a Sunday night that we weren't going to church, but my brother talked us into going. He goes once every 50 years, and he decided to go that one night, and he begged us to go, and we went, and we rededicated our life to God that night. Today, I embrace my Christian faith not because I was raised in it, not because I believe that it's the way, which I do, but I embrace my Christian faith today because of all the good things He's given us over the years. I embrace my Christian faith today because of all the prayers that He's answered. I can't begin to enumerate everything that He's done in our life and our family. Can't begin to tell you how grateful and thankful I am that we embraced this journey together 40-something years ago. But I want to tell you a story, and then I want to challenge you in this story to embrace it, and let's claim it. Let's stake a claim today for God to move like He's never moved before in our life. It was 100 years before Jesus was born. It was the last generation of Israelites, and there was a drought, and there was such a serious drought that last generation of Jews were about to be wiped out by this drought. 400 years since the last prophet had died. 400 years of not hearing from heaven. 400 years of not seeing any miracles. As for them, miracles were only a faded memory. Miracles to them were false memories. Maybe they were just tales and stories that had been told them down through the years that wasn't really real. And so they really didn't believe God. They didn't really trust in Him like their forefathers and mothers did. But there was this eccentric sage who lived outside of Jerusalem. And although they had not heard from God, he believed that God still heard them. And he was noted to have this faith for to pray and believe. And so he came into Jerusalem, and he got into the city streets, and he took a staff, and he drew this circle all the way around, and he stopped, and he stood in the middle of that circle, and he knelt before God, and he said, God of the universe, I swear by your great name that I'll not move from this circle until you show mercy to your children. At that time, legend has it that little sprinkles began to fall, and people were just excited. Children were jumping up and down. There was just this glee of hope stirring in Israel again. But then Honi prayed again, and he says, not for such rain have I prayed. I pray for rain that will fill cisterns, and caverns, and pits. And there was this deluge of water that began to fall out of the heavens. They said that the raindrops were as big as eggs. And it was so torrential that the people had to flee and go up into the Temple Mount because of all the water that was coming down. And then Honi prayed again. And I love this prayer, because what they were really looking for had already happened. But he prayed one more time, and he says, not for such rain have I prayed. I pray for your rain of blessings and graciousness and favor continually be on this nation. a prayer that didn't come from his vocal cords, but a prayer that came out of his most inner being. One single prayer saved a generation. One single prayer saved a generation. The prayer that saved a generation was deemed one of the most significant prayers in the history of Israel. The circle became a sacred symbol. The legend of Honi stands forever as a statement of the power of a single prayer to change the course of history. Bold prayers result in bold testimonies. I believe that. Bold prayers. I believe that God still wants to keep his promises, answer prayers, perform miracles, fulfill dreams, because that's who he is. And you know why I believe that he wants to keep his promise? You know why I believe that he wants to answer prayers? You know why I believe that today? Not because the word says it, which it does. I believe it because I do too. I believe it because I'm a father. And I want their prayers answered. I want them to receive whatever they want and need. And the Bible says, if we being evil know how to give good gifts to our children, how much more does the Heavenly Father want to give to us? I believe God wants to do this because I do too. Say, I do too. Don't you? Don't you want that for your children? If we want that for our children, what does he want for us? If we could just reestablish something in our life today, is that God is for us. God loves us. God has never left us. He has never forsaken us. He wants to answer our prayers. I think sometimes maybe we give up just a little too soon. You know, I was raised Pentecostal, and we was raised with such words as praying through. Praying through. We were raised with pray till you get the breakthrough. We were raised with keep on asking, keep on seeking, and keep on knocking, and the door will be open to you. And we embrace that. My wife prayed for 33 years for her two nieces that were taken from them. 33 years she prayed for that to be reunited, that her brother would see his two daughters that he hasn't seen since they were just babies. And I told her one day with my great faith, why don't you give up? Why don't you stop? It's never going to happen. And one day the prayer was answered and the girls were reunited with their father and reunited with their aunt. Right before, a year later, that he passed on. But he got to see his two daughters. Why? Because somebody prayed for 33 years and didn't stop and didn't give up, but kept praying until the answer came. I don't know why it sometimes takes a long time. I don't know why, but you know, it doesn't matter as long as it happens. We just should never, ever give up. And so what I'm believing for my Lent season, and I hope for your Lent season, is that we're going to pray every day for a miracle. We're going to pray every day for God to show up in our lives in a way that he's never done it before. And you don't have to pray for 30 minutes. You don't have to pray an hour. You don't have to pray a long, long prayer. All you have to do is to pray regularly. Say regularly. If you pray regularly, irregular things will happen. And all you got to do is once every day between now and Easter to pray, God, I'm asking you for your favor, for your blessings, and for your graciousness like never before upon our lives. Like never before, that our testifying Wednesday nights will so explode with testimonies that it will be unbelievable what we'll be hearing. If this one man's prayer could save a generation, if one man's prayer can save a generation, what can all of our prayers together do in this generation? What can it do for our children? What can it do for our grandchildren? What can it do in our lives? You see, I'm believing God. I want my faith to be built over the next 40 days. I want it to be built. My word for this year was believe. Believe. See, faith to me is the doctrine. Believe is activating it. I have faith inside, but I need to activate that faith by believing. And I want to share a story with you right out of the Bible. The story I told you is true. How many of you know God's done a lot of other things outside the Bible? How many of you know that God has done a lot more things just outside the Bible? A lot more things. The Bible says if everything that Jesus had said and done had been written, the world in itself would not contain the books. And since then, over 2,000 years, the awesome miracles that's transpired has been unbelievable. That we've gone from a handful of believers to millions upon millions of believers. From a handful of disciples to millions and millions and millions of people who have embraced this faith. There was a man named Cornelius, and the Bible says in Caesarea there lived a Roman army officer named Cornelius, who was a captain of the Italian regiment. He was a devout, God-fearing man, as was everyone in his household. He gave generously to the poor, and he prayed regularly to God. Say regularly. Y'all gonna remember that word. Kind of tongue twister, isn't it? Regularly. Yeah. You can't say it? Regularly. There you go. We're going to pray regularly. That means regularly. On an ongoing basis, we're going to pray every day. We're going to pray. All right, you're going to pray. All right. You with me? How many know that there's two things, man? Here's this man, it says he prayed regularly and he gave alms. How many believe that prayer and giving is two powerful forces united together? Prayer and giving, man, is two powerful forces. One afternoon, about 3:00, he had a vision. He saw an angel of God coming toward him. The angel said, Cornelius. Cornelius stared at him in terror. What is it, sir? He asked the angel. The angel replied, your prayers and your gifts to the poor have been received by God as an offering. Because something powerful was happening. There was this man, Cornelius, praying regularly and giving alms to people. Because he knew that you really don't give anything away. You invest. Because the Bible says if you give to the poor, you lend to the poor, God will pay you back. So you never really give anything away. I want to challenge you how to pray, too. Don't pray with your logical mind. Pray with your imagination. Pray, imagine. How many ever imagine? Don't you? We all have our imaginations, don't we? Now, they can be good imaginations or bad. How many know that? How many ever imagine the bad? I mean, the worst thing's going to happen. mean, your imagination, there's an old saying, your imagination can drive you crazy, or your imagination can bring such wonderful things into your life. When you pray, I want you to imagine what you want. Because the Bible says, now unto him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above anything that we could even ask or imagine. That's what that word think means, imagine. Imagine it. Imagine what it would be like to be healed. Imagine what it would be like to have all your needs met. Imagine what it would be like for everything to be working together. Imagine what it would be. Don't try and manufacture your miracle. Don't try to answer your own prayers. That never works out good. Don't try to do God's job for him. Just stay humble and patient and focused. Don't pray ASAP as soon as possible. Pray ALAT as long as it takes. Don't pray ASAP, pray ALAT as long as it takes. As long as it takes, I'm going to believe. Because my Christian faith today I embrace, it's not because I was raised in, thank God for, not because of, it's because of what he's done in my life for all these years. We've spent 4 years, four seasons, times in India, preaching to a Hindu nation, to a thousands and thousands in crusades, not coming against Hinduism. We just brought them Jesus. We brought them this Christ, this Savior that will, I believe, is the most precious religion in the world. It's the only religion that brings us to this God of the universe as our Father. Jesus said, there's no way to the Father but by me. And I get to know him as a father, not as this austere God who's trying to get stuff from me, but a father who's trying to bless me, who's trying to give to me. And I want you to stand with me. And Dusty's going to sing this song. And as she's singing this song, look at the words to this song. Listen to the words of it. And as God speaks to you, you know, if I want you to imagine yourself and just come down, and I want you to imagine yourself what you need, that you draw your circle. You just imaginely, you draw your circle and you say, God, this is what I want. This, I'm not leaving this circle of faith. I'm not leaving this circle of prayer. I'm not leaving here until you answer me. I'm not leaving it. I'm not leaving it until you answer my prayer. I'm not leaving this imaginary circle of faith, of hope, of love. I'm not leaving it until you answer it. And let me tell you, one other thing that's going to happen over the next, not 40 days now, 30 some odd days, if you will pray regularly, if you will pray regularly, let me tell you what's going to happen. Two things are going to happen. One, God's going to do irregular things in your life. Two, as you are praying regularly, God is going to lay something on you that you didn't even know about, and you're going to pray about. And God is not only going to answer this circle of prayer, he's going to answer, he will do exceedingly abundantly above anything we can even ask or imagine. See, this prayer answered. But Honey said, this ain't enough. This rain's great, God, but this is just a temporary, momentary thing. That's not what I want. Not just this circle. I want this circle and this circle and this circle and this circle and this circle. And they all link together. And they form this chain that cannot be broken. Come on, somebody help me preach one. That it will form a chain that cannot be broken. And it will pull whatever needs to be pulled out of the unseen into the seen. It'll pull what is temporal into the eternal. It will pull and pull and pull, and it will not be broken. It will not be broken. It will not be broken. Amen.
This song is super, super meaningful for me. I didn't expect it to take me back to a time where I really, really had to walk in trust. And you may be in a position or in a place right now where you're really, really having to walk in trust. When I got pregnant with John Henry, I think most of you know the story, some may not, I realized I was about to walk this pregnancy alone. Not alone, I had many of you and my family. And there was a scripture that I read every single day. And that scripture was, we can rejoice too when we run into problems and trials. What a bold statement. We can rejoice when we run into problems and trials, for we know that they help us develop endurance, and endurance develops strength of character, and character strengthens our confident hope of salvation, knowing that our confident hope that salvation's not a one-time thing. God is consistently saving me and rescuing me. And this hope will not lead to disappointment. And all I kept holding on to was, this hope will not disappoint. This hope will not disappoint. And you know, and as I walked through this, the way I imagined that the whole thing would turn out with, like for me and for John Henry's dad, the way I imagined, and it didn't, I started thinking, whoa, God, whoa, that was not our deal. Kind of like Brandon, whoa, that was not the plan. But I kept on seeking, and I kept on knocking, and I didn't stop holding on to hope. I didn't know what that was going to look like, but I knew it wasn't going to disappoint. Even when it didn't look like what I thought it was supposed to look like. And then time goes on, and I just keep worshiping, and I just keep thanking, and I keep praying daily. And then God gives me Chris. Then God gives us Janine, Brian remarried. I'm just telling you the pieces of this puzzle that God fit together. And when he says, I'm going to work everything for your good, he means it. And it's always just, and for your good, it's better. It's more than you imagine it to be. I'm living the freaking dream, people. The thing that I thought was going to crush me and shatter me, I am living a dream. Because of prayer and a confident hope that doesn't disappoint. So I sing these words, understanding what it means to trust. And I sing these words, knowing what it means for my song to become my triumph. When I'm counting every till my song becomes my triumph. And I'll sing because I trust you. I will bring my heart, I will lift my song. When I'm listening for your voice, when I'm shutting out the noise, I know that you will speak clearly. When I'm living out my faith, when I'm stepping on the sea, I know you'll take my hand and walk with me, walk with me. Before my breakthrough, till my song becomes my triumph. And I sing because I trust you. I will bring my heart, I will lift my song.
Didn't know while he was praying was that there was somebody 32 miles away named Peter who prayed regularly too. And Peter's on a rooftop. It's a different kind of prayer. Peter's not asking God for any particular thing. He's really just in a state of meditation. And the Bible says that he went into a trance, and when he did, he had a vision. And a sheet was let down out of heaven, and all kinds of four-footed beasts was on it. And the voice came to Peter and said, Peter, rise and eat. And Peter says, not so, Lord. No, I'm a Jew. I've never eaten anything like that. And God said, what I have cleansed, do not call common. And he says, I want you to go 32 miles. You got to realize that people back then didn't travel over 30 miles in their whole lifetime. So I want you to go 32 miles to a man named Cornelius, to a Gentile. Jews didn't go into Gentiles' homes. You got to realize Peter was still a staunch Jew. Christian Jew, believed in Jesus, but he was still a Jew. They did not associate with Gentiles. Now watch this. One prayer on a regular basis of a man named Cornelius. You got to hear this. You and I are here today because of Cornelius' prayer that God would visit the Gentiles too. And Peter goes into Cornelius' house, and they made a statement that has stood the test of time, that God wants everybody to know everywhere that he accepts everybody everywhere in his kingdom. Because two men who was praying 32 miles apart get an answer from God, and you and I are here today. Now, maybe he would have answered somebody else's prayer. I'm sure he would have, but he answered Cornelius's prayer. Gentile nation became a part of the Jewish nation. And now there's only one race, there's only one family, there's only one nation, there's only one kingdom, there's only one people, and we all now are the children of the living God. Is that awesome? Is that awesome? Because of a man who prayed regularly and gave. Got this giving part down. Now let's get this praying part down. Let's get this regular prayer. Don't have to pray for hours. That was a real short prayer, Honey Pray. Real short prayer. See, prayer is just communion with God. It's just talking to him like I'm talking to you. It's just, hey God, Father, here I am. Here I am. I'm looking forward to it because of this. I don't know. I have my circle that I'm praying for, but what I'm looking forward to is all the other circles that he's going to connect to this circle and form a chain that I didn't even know was happening and didn't even know was coming about, but it's going to happen. And that chain, it's not going to be broken. Sing one more song before Will comes, aren't we? Oh, Will's gonna come anyway. Will. Just hold on to that. It's
the goodness of God is so good, isn't it? The greatness of God is so great. If you got your bulletins this week, Lots of important information in there. Please read that. Your connection card is in there. If you're visiting with us for the first time, welcome. And if you have put your name and an email address, we'll follow up with you that way. Those that are members here, if you will fill that out in praise reports, prayer requests, things you can get involved in, sign up for, they're all there. The faithfulness of God is so good. Your faithfulness to this house and serving our children, serving coffee and donuts, so good. Father, Lord, we thank you that we can come, Father, Lord, and we can give of our time, our talent, our treasures, our tithes, our offerings, our homes. Thank you, Father, Lord God, that you give back. Press down, running over. In Jesus' name. Amen. Stand and let's worship.
Right before we sing this song, let me give you a couple of things that's happened. Pastor Keith had two blockages. I know you got the report on that. He's doing really well. You see, I look at that as a miracle. So I look at that as God sparing his life. I look at my brother, God sparing his life overnight to get to the hospital to have stents put in. I look at those things as miracles. This week we had a lady, while she was being x-rayed and they saw the cyst, while they were looking at it, it went away. While they were looking at it, it went away. I look at my buddy Ron Gray as a miracle because he, week before last, also had blockages and was able to get them handled before they devastated his life. And so what I'll ask you to do over the next few weeks, Ron's going to be out of commission for a while, and I want you to help just give a special offering of missions for Ron Gray over the next few weeks so that over the next 2 or 3 weeks we can really bless him and just be a miracle to him. How many want to be a miracle? Not only receive a miracle, but be a miracle. Amen? So let's do that. Let's just work at this last time. Let's just thank God for what he's already done. All right?
All right, let's stand in motion.
There's a better life. There's a better life.